Word of God here today. Well, before we jump in again, we just want to welcome those that are visiting Family Church here today. We're just so glad to have new faces with us all the time. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We welcome you. We're just so grateful for you. And we'd love to be your church family all the time. If you're looking for a Bible teaching church, we'd love to see you every Sunday morning at right here at 10:30. Or, hey, venture on out on a Wednesday night and join our men's and women's group. Again, the women are meeting here at 6:30 in our main building. And our men, we meet up in the youth center Wednesday nights at 6:30. We go to 7:45 and we make sure that we're done right at that time. We'd love to see everybody in those groups. Amen. Praise the Lord. In church, are you glad that there's new people with us all the time? Whose opportunity is it to make sure they feel warm and welcome? That's all of ours. Let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting here today. Praise the Lord. And I tell you what, it better be more than just a hand clap during the service. You know, when you see folks come in, even if they've been here a little while and you still haven't had an opportunity to meet and greet with them, you know, get their name, shake their hand, let them know you're glad to see them, and make sure that they know that they're welcome to come back. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Well, join me in your Bibles. Go over to James chapter 5. And today I'm going to call this message, Healing is for a Greater Purpose. Amen. Healing is for a greater purpose. And today we're going to go over to James chapter 5. And we're going to look at a familiar passage. And we're going to see something in this passage maybe we haven't seen before. Or we're going to think, you know, a certain way. We're going to have our thinking change maybe in a certain way that we haven't been, had before. And we're going to receive something out of this message. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. I believe He's also our living healer. Amen. I believe that. Is there anyone else that believes that here today? He is our healer. He is our provider. He is our protector. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to that Roman cross 2,000 years ago. He shed His blood for the remission of our sins. He was not there because He Himself was guilty of anything. We all were guilty of our sin. He became the sacrifice for our sins. He rose again on the third day. Amen. He then sat down at the right hand of His heavenly Father, where He forever lives to make intercession for you and I. He is right there defending our case, pleading our case, providing for every single one of our needs. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He was a healer then, He's a healer now. Everything that you need, He is able to save to the uttermost. If God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also in Christ freely give us all things that we need? Amen. Glory to God. God is good. And this is what distinguishes our Heavenly Father from the rest. He is the living Savior. He provided His Son, not just as our Savior, of course, most importantly as our Savior, but also as our healer. Praise God. Go to James chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14, and this is a familiar passage. And sometimes we don't think of this as a healing passage, but it certainly is. But there's more going on to this passage of Scripture than healing in our physical body. This today is something that we need to get a hold of, you know, when we consider healing and what God wants to do in our physical body. We have to make sure that we get first things first. We have to make sure that our motives are right. We need to make sure that we look just beyond the surface and we get to the depth of what the Word is really getting at. And so let's take a look here today. Go to James 5:14. Praise the Lord. It says this. It says, "Is any sick among you?" And we're going to answer that question here today. Who is the among you? Among who? We're going to talk about that. And it says, "Let him," the sick person, "call for the elders of the church, and let them," the elders, "pray over him," the sick person, "anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." I believe in that. This church believes in that. I believe in anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. And I believe verse 15, and it says this, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." The word save, it means to rescue, all right? You could read it like this. And the prayer of faith, or the prayer offered in faith, shall rescue the sick one, and the Lord, everyone say the Lord, shall raise him up. The Lord shall raise up the sick one. The Lord is the healer. You know, that right there, that's enough in the Bible right there to end the debate whether God wants to heal somebody or not. Of course he wants to heal, you know, but we have a part to play in that. And we're going to talk about that. And it says, and if the sick person has committed sins, that doesn't mean they had for sure. Just if they had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That doesn't mean that every sickness that comes on our body is a result of sin, in the sense it doesn't mean you did something to deserve it or something like that. How many of you know trials and challenges come, you know, to every, you know, single person? We've all dealt with, you know, tests and trials in our bodies. That's absolutely true. And it's, but the good news is we've got an answer for it. We've got an answer. And it says, and if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And it says, confess your faults one to another. Who's he talking to here? Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or makes much power available. Notice that the fervent prayer of a righteous man can forgive sins and heal sickness. Amen. The prayer of faith. All right. Forgiving your sins and healing your body. Glory to God. Verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, meaning he was a normal man just like we all are, right? And sometimes we think that these Bible characters, you know, that they were superhuman, that, you know, they didn't have flesh, they didn't have temptations like we have. But the Bible says that they were just like we are. They had a flesh to contend with just like you and me. They had trials to contend with like you and me. They had needs to contend with like you and me. And he says, Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. 3.5 years, it did not rain. Remember when Elijah was contending with King Ahab and all that stuff, you know, and he prayed in faith, and of course, you know, the rain stopped. And then verse 18, it says, and then Elijah prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Do you see what the scripture is letting us know? That if you'll pray with the prayer of faith, it can absolutely change natural circumstances. It absolutely can change the elements around you in your life. Amen. So much so that the prayer of faith back in Elijah's day prevented it to rain. Well, maybe we should start praying the prayer of faith so it stops snowing around here. Let's use the prayer of faith and turn Jamestown's weather into South Florida weather or something like that. Well, that's not what it's saying, obviously. But he prayed again, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And then verse 19, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converts him. Now notice he says this in verse 19. He says, brethren. How many brethren do we have here today? All right. So now this gives us a direct indication of who this is written to. If it's written to brethren, who is he talking about, everybody? He's talking about us. He's talking about the church. He's talking to believers. All right. The church is not the building. The church is the people who believe. The Bible says the church is the body of Christ that fulfills all in all. And we may have to take a look at that here in a little bit. But now we see verse 19 makes it very clear indication of who he's talking to. He's talking to the assembled church. It's not just one local church. He's talking to all believers, all Christians, all that are born again with the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, brethren, if any of you, if any brethren err from the truth. See, we think it's just the people that don't know Jesus that err. We think that it's only unbelievers that can, you know, get themselves in big trouble and depart from the ways of faith, or have departed, or have never come to faith, or whatever it is. It says, brethren, if any of you Christians err from the truth, meaning someone who has once made Christ their Lord and Savior, and they start to drift, start to fall away from the faith, start to embrace sin, start to fall back into their own way, their old ways. Yeah, how many of you know that happens? And we think that, you know, today, oh my goodness, I wasn't even, you know, planning on talking about this, but we see in the scripture, it warns us over and over not to fall back to our old ways and our old sins. We have this doctrine that floats around the body of Christ today saying, once saved, always saved. You know, this idea like, hey, I prayed a prayer at one time. I prayed that Jesus was my Lord and Savior, but it just didn't matter what I did from there on out. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a big problem. Because if you're not careful, you can err from the truth. You can depart from truth. You can all of a sudden embrace sinful ways. If you don't keep your mind renewed, if you don't stay obedient, if you don't stay connected to the local church that's teaching you the word and warning you and giving you solid doctrine, you can fall back into ways that would absolutely hurt and destroy you, both physically and spiritually. It's true. You know, verse 20, and he goes on to say this, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way, or the one that holds the Christian brother accountable. Boy, Christian accountability is at an all-time low. Thank God for Christian accountability. It was Christian accountability that got me going on the right path with the Lord, because people had the courage to say things to me in a loving way that I didn't want to hear. Amen. It says, he that converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Go up to verse 19 again. What's the first word of verse 19? Brethren. So who is he talking to, everybody? The church. He's talking to us. Go back up there to verse 14. And now we're going to put this right in context, and we're going to take a deeper look at the greater purpose for healing. You know, when we say healing, yes, we are talking about physical healing. We are talking about God's desire and promise to heal our physical bodies, to keep us in health and keep us in strength. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? He says this, is there any sick among you? Who is the people that he's talking about here? Who, among who, everybody? Among the church. He's saying, in your gathered assembly, is there any sick among you? And it gives us instructions of one thing that we can do if we were being challenged in our bodies in the local church as a believer. It says, let the sick one call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad that God has instructions to the church of how we can get healed? That tells us that the Lord must absolutely desire our preservation in this life. He must desire our health and our healing if he is to give the local church instruction to the believer, instruction to the sick believer, instruction to the elders of what to do, right? And it says the prayer of faith shall rescue the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. The Lord shall raise them up. Boy, we've seen that around here recently, and we're not going to go into the big testimony right now, but just, you know, this last week and the week before that, you know, we saw the Lord just raise somebody up in this church just miraculously through the prayer of faith. Amen. When it looked very dire, the circumstances were very dark. And I'll tell you what, the prayer of faith, not because it was me or it doesn't matter who it is, but because the Lord raised that person up. Glory to God. And we are so grateful for that. And we would love to share the testimony at some point. Praise the Lord. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. God's got a plan. He wants you healed. He's got a promise. He's got a way. That tells us exactly what he desires for us in our life. Amen. And we're very grateful for that. But go back up to verse 14. We're right there. It says, is any sick among you? It's talking about the church. And he's talking about if there's any sick in the church, God wants the church walking in health and strength. That does not mean you are evil or that you've necessarily done something wrong or it's your fault or you're sitting there playing the self-condemnation card if you're going through a struggle in your body. You know, we've all been there. There's people that have been attacked in their body and so on. So many people, they take what we're saying, like we're saying today, and they think that we're blaming people if they've gotten sick, or people think that they're, you know, the pastor said they're evil if they're dealing with a sickness or a condition in their body. That is not what we're saying. What we're saying is the good news is that God's got a way. God's got a way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he's talking to the church here, and he wants the church walking in health, meaning the believers, and there's a reason why. Healing is so often, healing in our physical body, which is a blessing from God, which is a promise of God, but so often it is promoted as a blessing just for ourselves. It's usually promoted as something that we need, you know, to keep, you know, going to work and making money. You know, we need to have health in our bodies so we can raise our families, you know, so we can pay the bills, you know, and all that's true, right? We need strength in our bodies to exercise, to go about our lives, to, you know, do things that we enjoy to do, right? Spend time with our families. How many of you know that's all absolutely true and God wants that for you? But so often we are told and taught and we don't even realize that we're approaching healing as something that is just only for us personally. And all of a sudden we get locked in on it because we want it, we need it, it's for us exclusively, it's just a personal issue, but I'm here to tell you it is not a personal issue first. And if we're not careful, we're going to see in the Word today, we start to desire the promises and blessings of God, which healing is a big one, but we start to desire it for us so we can go about our lives, our plan, our purposes, but the Lord has a greater purpose for healing. Healing isn't for your purposes. Healing is for the Lord's purposes. Healing isn't given to you so you can do what you want. Healing is given to you so you can do what the Lord wants. Amen. We're going to see this in the Word. He's talking, is there any sick among the church? And let the elders come forward and anoint with oil in the name of the Lord and pray the prayer of faith that the sick would be rescued. Why is God doing this? Why does he want to do this? Because healing is so often promoted as on an individual basis, something that's just an individual need. But healing for our physical bodies is about, first and foremost, the body of Christ. It isn't because, of course, God loves you as an individual. Yes, God has promises for you as the individual. Your individual body is the temple of the Lord, and God wants it walking in strength. But I'm here to tell you, this passage starts to make it very clear that healing in our physical bodies first starts with the needs of the body of Christ or the local church. How many of you believe that you are part of the body of Christ? We are, the Bible says, we are parts of his body. Let me show you just some verses. I wasn't planning on necessarily doing this. Are you ready up there to help us out? How about bringing up, let's see, Ephesians 1:22. We're going to read verses 22 and 23. I believe that's the right scripture here. And it says this, and God has put all things under Jesus' feet. This is what he's talking about here. God the Father has put all things under the feet of Christ and has gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. Everyone say the church. What is the church? Look at verse 23. It says, which is his body, the fullness of Christ that fills all in all. That means the church as a collective can do all the things that Christ can do. Everything that Jesus can do, it doesn't mean that any one of us, just one of us as individual, can do everything that Jesus could do, but all of us together as the body of Christ can do, fulfill all that Christ did and wants to do. Amen? So we are his body. The church is not the building. The church is not the organization. The church is us unified. Amen. So if you're a born-again believer, the Bible says that you are part of his body. Where is that verse? There's another verse that's playing in my heart. And you're going to have to just give me one quick moment to find it. And you say, Pastor, that feels awkward and strange. You're looking up a verse in front of the whole church. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Can you bring that one up? Just to let you know that the scripture makes it very clear. That verse started just playing in my heart. I needed to verify. See, the Holy Ghost starts to speak the words of a verse. He doesn't give me the chapter and verse for it. He doesn't. It says, now you are the body of Christ and you are the members or the parts in particular. meaning that each of you play a specific role in the body of Christ, just like the parts of your natural body all perform a specific task. Aren't you glad your liver is livering today? Right? Aren't you glad that your heart is beating today? Aren't you glad that your spleen is working, whatever that does, you know? Aren't you glad that the ligaments, aren't you glad? And when they're not working, we feel it, don't we? We go without it. Or there's a level of suffering if there's parts of the body that are not in the right place or not performing their function. We, in the same way, we make up the body of Christ, and each of us have a function. And if we're not functioning, what happens to parts in our natural body that are not functioning? They get removed. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean the pastor kicks you out. It doesn't mean the church doesn't welcome you. I'm just saying all of a sudden that part can die or get destroyed. Listen, we need the body as parts. We need the body more than the body needs us. All right? It's like, you know, the little finger on my hand, my pinky. My pinky needs my body more than my body needs the pinky. But the body would not be complete without the pinky. But the body can live without the pinky. But the pinky can't live without the body. In the same way, the church can live without me. The church can live without you. But we cannot live without the church or the body of Christ. So now we're starting to understand, you know, how important it is to be connected to the body. So now we're back over here at James 5:14. Think about this. You are the church. You are the body. All right. Why does God produce and desire healing in the body? Because if we are not walking in physical health and strength, then the mandate upon the local church will not be fulfilled. If we are not walking in strength, you know, because the fact of the matter is, if we have health and strength, the body of Christ has that health and strength. I've got health and strength in my body today. That means I can show up and I can perform my function. See, if I've got gifts and talents and abilities, those gifts and talents, abilities belong to the body. They're not for me, right? You know, they're not for me. You know, the ability to teach the Word of God is not for me. It's for all of you. You know, my ability, whatever it is, you know, we could go on. Reverend Tony's ability to lead worship, your ability to serve, everyone from the people that clean the floors to the ones that are going to be helping in the spring cleanup day. You know, no matter who you are, you've got a function in the body of Christ. Amen. And I'll tell you what, we're not going to be able to perform that function if we don't have healing and health in our bodies. And so many times we think when it comes to healing, healing is about this body. It's not. Healing is about this body. And if we stay selfish, if we think that healing is just about us getting over the pain, getting over the trouble, so we can go back to work and feed our families. Listen, God wants all that. But I'm here to tell you, we are missing the greater purpose for healing if we don't understand that my health and strength is to be given to the body of Christ first and foremost. Yeah, a lot of Christians, they show up to work and they work hard at their jobs and that's wonderful. But do you show up to church? You give it all at your jobs? Do you spend any time serving in the local church? Do you lend your time? Listen, if I've got resources in my life, whether it's finances or time, they're not given to just me. They're given so the body can succeed. Because if you've got health and strength, then the body of Christ can benefit from that. If you've got finances and resources and you're a faithful tither and a giver, the body benefits from that. Amen. If you've got talents, if you've got time, if you've got the ability to serve, the body of Christ benefits for that. You're going to have a great call of God on your life, but if you don't have physical strength to perform it, you're not going to be able to fulfill that call on your life. Amen. Healing is for a greater purpose. Amen. Healing is so I can stay active in this body. Amen. That's my desire. I want to stay active in the body. Not just make sure I've got a paycheck. Not just making sure that I get to do the fun things I want to do. Not just making sure that the pain isn't there. Listen, God wants to take away that pain. The Bible says that Christ bore our pains and our sicknesses, right? The Bible says that he was stricken. The Bible says that he was afflicted. The Bible says that he was bruised. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we are healed. Isaiah 54, verses 3, 4, and 5. You can look it up yourself. Amen. Glory to God. He wants us to make sure that when we have a desire to receive of his blessings, and when we have a desire to receive his promises, we're not just asking for ourselves. I want to stay faithful in the body. Are you here? If I have resources, the body's going to benefit. Because I'm a tither and I'm a giver. Amen. If I've got strength in my body, then I can serve. I can show up week in and week out. I can meet with couples and people and counsel week in and week out. I can administrate and help the body of Christ. Amen. With strength and health, I've been able to pastor two churches. You know, I'm just using that as an example. What has God called you to do? Amen. You need physical health and healing. But if we just are absorbed on healing for ourselves, listen, that is how it is portrayed most of all across the body of Christ. Yeah. It is portrayed as, hey, get healed for you. Get healed for you. Get healed for you. We need to adjust that and say, oh, no, I'm not just healed for me. Thank God that he does want that for us individually. But he wants us to have strength so that there is strength in the body of Christ. That's why it says, is there any sick among you? Yeah. Is there any that have been sidelined?
Yeah, sidelined?
Anyone that is not able to perform their function in the body of Christ, but they desire to perform that function? Get the elders together, anoint them in the name of the Lord with anointing oil, pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will rise them up. So that they can what? Give their strength to the body. Are you lending your strength to the body? Are you lending your talents and your time to the body? Notice, healing isn't just about this body. It's about this body. And until this body becomes more important than this body, we might walk without some things. That's absolutely true. You're going to see this in this passage. Wow. Because if I have health, the body of Christ benefits. If I have resources, provision, and wealth, the body benefits. If I have gifts, they belong to the body. Let me show you this. Praise the Lord. You know what? Go back. You're in James chapter 5. Drop back to chapter 4. But if I think that this is all about me, if I think that it's just for myself personally, I'm going to miss it. Watch this. We've been told over and over, just receive healing for yourself. Well, the Bible gives us a greater purpose for healing. Amen. Are you here today? Yes. We're going to look at how receiving works. How do you receive, you know, from the Lord? Receive his promises, receive his blessing. Look at James 4:1. Just turn back one chapter. James tells us this, and he warns us about it. He says this to the church. He says, from where come wars and fightings among you? Wow. Now he's not just asking where, you know, sickness comes from, or if there's any sick among you. He says, now, is there any fighting among you? Why? Because fighting and strifing will hurt the body. Sickness can sideline people from serving in the body. And so now he asks this, he says, where do these wars and fightings come from among you? Come they not from here, even of your lusts that war in your own members? Meaning your own desires? The term lust here is not talking about sexual lust. It's talking about your own purposes, your own desires. You know, you want it your way, and you want to have it your way. He says, your fighting is coming from because you all want it your own way. Church is not where we go to get things our own way. Church is where we go to lay down our own way. Amen. I'll tell you what, God does not want us to have a heart that says, God, I got to have it my way. It's no, Lord, have it your way. Lord, move and do what you need to do. Lord, lead me to the place that I would be a blessing to your body. Amen. Glory to God. Look at this. He says in verse 2, he says, you lust, meaning you strongly desire, but yet you have not. You kill. All right, when it says you kill here, it's not talking about physically murdering somebody. He's saying you're criticizing your brothers and sisters. You're putting them down. You know, remember you know, Jesus told us that, that if we hate our brothers or sisters in our heart, it's just as good as murder. Remember that? That's what he's talking about here. He's like, you put others down. You long to see others fail. You want to, you know, argue with them and fight with them and betray them, and you get all offended at them, but yet you desire to have, but yet you cannot obtain. He says, you fight and you war, you're offended in your strife, yet you have not because you ask not. Look at verse 3. He says, and then when you ask God, but you receive nothing. Whoa. Why do Christians receive nothing? Well, first of all, they're offended and they're fighting, right? But look what he says. You ask God, but you receive nothing from God because you ask him amiss. You ask him wrongly. Whoa, what is wrongly asking God? That you may consume it upon your own lusts. You ask God, you try to receive something from God, but you want it only for you. You want it for your purposes. You want it for your desire. You just want it for you. Ooh, boy, it's sure getting quiet in here all of a sudden. He says, you ask, but if you're asking for yourself, you're asking amiss. See, this is what's happening with healing. It's not just healing. It's happening with God's provision. It's happening with, you know, God's joy. It's happening with so many believers. Their prayers are not getting answered because they want everything for them. They just want their problems to go away. They just want life to be easier for them. But this is why we've got to make that adjustment and start living for the body. Because when we're receiving these things as part of the body, now you're not asking amiss. Now you're not just trying to consume it for yourself. Amen. Until this body becomes more important than this body. You know, I'm going to keep saying this. Until you all of a sudden get that revelation in your heart. Wait a minute. I was born again not to serve myself. I was born again to be part of this body, that my time, my talents, and my resources go for this body and not just for me. That's what the tithe is. The tithe is to make sure that your heart stays connected to supplying the body. That's what it is. That's just one example. Are you here today? Wow, let me show you this. Hold your place there in the book of James. We're coming right back. Go to Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Healing is for a greater purpose. You better have a purpose that's beyond you. My purpose has got to be beyond me. My purpose has got to be for you. You are the parts, you are the members of Christ's body. You are the ones, you are holy and sacred to God. I've got to live for you. I got to make sure that I'm obeying the word for your sake. Are you here? So many Christians will never know the power and the blessing of God because they're just living for themselves. They ask God, they could pray all the time and nothing is showing up because they just want it for themselves. There's even Christians that have been tithing for years, but they're tithing just to get something for themselves. Yeah. Oh, they just said, well, I saw the promise in God's word. I'll do it. I had a man do that to me one time. Spent, you know, months, I don't know, it was a year and a half or whatever. He come up to me after a service one time. He said, I've been tithing for a year and whatever. He said, I've seen no extra money show up to me. I said, well, you just answered your own question. You just answered your own question because you thought that God was a casino machine. You thought you'd pull the lever, you know, on one of those machines, and you thought that God would just pour out money just because, you know, you're trying to treat God like that. No. Your heart was wrong. You did that just so you could get something out of him. Your heart has got to make that switch over and where we stop just living for ourselves. And we see and get a revelation, I'm part of the Lord's body. There used to be a time in this country when Christian businesses used to supply the local churches. Used to be a time when people longed to help the church. I used this illustration, you know, last night. I'll use it again. There was a time in our nation when the church was so honored, they made sure it was the nicest, most beautiful building in town. Have you seen our cathedrals? Have you seen the remnant cathedrals here in the city of Jamestown? Have you been into the First Lutheran Cathedral? Have you seen some of the old cathedrals that are left over, or even the Roman Catholic cathedrals, a lot of them are all empty now. But there was a time when people believed that God's house should be the best and most beautiful in the city. In the city of Charleston, South Carolina, I'm not sure if it's the case anymore, but in Charleston, South Carolina, they had a law that no building in the city could be taller than the church. Because they believed that the church should be the most glorious building in the city. Well, there was a time and there was a heart, you know, in our nation to make sure that God's house was cared for. That is left big time. We got to get back to honoring the Lord's body. That spring cleanup day, what is that? An opportunity to the body of Christ, to help the body. Amen. What is those serving opportunities? What is giving? What is prayer? You know, what is, you know, meditating in the word? Because when you're walking strong, that strength then filters down to the rest of us. Walking in the love of God. What does it do? It serves the body. We're going to get to this. Go to Acts chapter 4. Look at this. Look at in the early church, in the power of the Holy Ghost in the early church. Go to Acts 4:32. Go to Acts 4:32. Look at this. This is back in the first century. This is after Christ's resurrection and ascension. This is the first days of Christians. And it says this, and the multitude of them that believed. Do we have any believers here today? Yes. Now the multitude, this was the church at Jerusalem, and at this point, there were thousands. Remember, when Peter preached in chapter 2, there was 3,000 that were added to the church that day. I mean, and then there was more after that. Thousands of people, so it is a multitude. And it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, and one soul, or you could say it this way, they were one body. They were one body. Neither said any of them. The scripture says that out of the thousands of people in the church, not one of them said that any of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. These are the days when the Holy Ghost was moving with such power and revival was upon the hearts of the people. And notice, it didn't make them more attached to their stuff. It actually made them more detached to their stuff. Because when they got born again, they got this revelation that anything in their life now was to help the body of Christ. I tell you what, we need in America that level of revival right there. The so-called, the perverted prosperity gospel that is being taught is making everybody selfish. They think that God just wants to make them rich for the sake of themselves. But the fact of the matter is, he blesses us to be a blessing. Amen. And the local churches in America need to get back to that place of that heart that says, man, anything in my life can be a blessing to the local church. And I'm going to show you why this is important. It says they were one heart, one soul. Neither said any of the things that they had, which he possessed, was his own. But they had all things common. Look at verse 33. And with great power. And with great power. I'll tell you what, great power does not flow into our lives until we've had that moment in our heart when we have detached ourselves from all of our belongings. Where we've gone before God and we say, Lord, nothing is mine. All is yours. So Lord, lead me and guide me if where I could be a blessing to your body. If you want me to serve, if you want me to give, whatever it is. And with great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Everyone say grace. Grace, grace did not make them selfish. Grace made them selfless. They detached from what they had. They weren't just spending all their time trying to get more. They wanted to know where they could serve the body. Look at how they did serve the body. Verse 34 said, neither was there any among them that lacked. No one among them lacked. Notice, poverty was completely eliminated in the early church. Why? Because of the move of the Spirit that detached them, because they believed that nothing they had was their own. See, I'm here to tell you, you know, this is the goal, to have this heart that we go before God, because they understood they were owners of nothing. They were stewards of everything. The body of Christ has got to get back to stewardship. I'm here to tell you, the house you live in, and it's not yours, it's the Lord's. The car you drive, it's not yours, it's the Lord's. The money in your account isn't yours, it's the Lord's. The health in your body isn't yours, it's the Lord's. Your physical body in the book of Ephesians is called the purchased possession of God. Your body doesn't belong to you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who was given to you? You are not your own, but you were purchased with a price. Your body doesn't belong to you. If God tells you not to take your body and fill it with alcohol, then you better listen. The Bible tells you to stop going out and sexing around. You better listen. If he tells you to lay down the dope, you better listen. That body isn't yours. Well, praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Why? Just because there was all this money around? No, because there was the right heart. They had the heart. Imagine what thousands of people could do who went to God and said, nothing is my own. Think if everyone had that heart to protect and to help the local church. If everyone just said, I want the body of Christ to prosper. I want the body. And so many of you, believe me, you are doing that. But we all can be challenged with this, right? Amen. For as many as were possessors of lands and of houses, notice plural. There must have been some blessed people in the early church. They had maybe more than others had. There were those that were possessors of lands and houses. It doesn't mean you have to go and sell your house today. All right? It doesn't mean you have to go sell your car today. But there were people in that early church who were extraordinarily blessed. And it says they were possessors of lands and houses, and they sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And it says, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Anyone that was poverty-stricken in that early church, they were completely provided for because there were those that didn't believe that they owned anything. They believed that they wanted to prosper the local church. And then look at, I love verse 36. We're going to talk about Barnabas. It says, and Joseph, who is by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas. How many of you remember Barnabas? Or I like to call him Barney. All right. Barnabas was quite the man. It says, which being interpreted, his name literally means the son of consolation, literally the son of encouragement. This guy was so encouraging. It says he was a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Look at verse 37. Barnabas, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Remember how God used Barnabas? Remember, Barnabas eventually became the leader. Are you here today, everybody? He eventually became the leader of the church at Antioch. How many of you remember this? Antioch was the second greatest church after the Jerusalem church. And here Barnabas was the leader of the church. He was the head guy. You know, he was in the limelight. He was speaking in front of everybody and all this stuff. And there came a day when the Lord told Barnabas, hey, I've got somebody else. It's this man, and he's hiding out in the desert. And the Lord, you know, is showing him great and mighty things. Barnabas, go and find this man. You might remember his name, a little man called Saul of Tarsus, later to be called what? The Apostle Paul. He said, Barnabas, go and find Paul. Bring him back and let him lead. Yeah. Barnabas didn't say, well, this is my job. This is my church. I've done all the work here. I should get the credit. No, Barnabas said, you got it, Lord. Went out, got Saul of Tarsus, brought him back to Antioch. He became the Apostle Paul, who then went out and, by the way, happened to write more than half of the New Testament and became the greatest apostle that this earth has ever seen. Why? Because someone didn't hold on to their notoriety. Barnabas let go of their pride. This position as pastor, this isn't mine. It doesn't belong to me. This church doesn't belong to me. You don't belong to me. The truck I drove to church today, it don't belong to me. I don't have any money in my pocket, but if I did, it don't belong to me. The money I have in the bank don't belong to me. You know? Are you getting a hold of this? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost does when he gets into your heart. He doesn't make you selfish. Boy, I tell you what, that's why it's a false move of the Spirit that we're seeing all over the place. When it gets greedy, you know it's not the Holy Ghost. You know it's not the Holy Ghost. They did not stand up in those days and talk about how much their house was worth. No. They went and sold that house. and brought the money to the church. Oh, Lordy, don't get me going on that. I'll tell you what, if you're not careful, you'll listen to that stuff. And they're thieves. Yes. They're thieves. That's what they are. They're thieves. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Listen, anything that tells you, oh, just do this, God's going to make you rich. Oh, it's all about your vacation homes. Oh, it's all about your hire this, your hire that. Know that that is just a thief talking. And I'm going to say it. I'm not going after anybody personally, but I see it all the time. Like, oh, goodness, Lord, save us. And they're wondering, well, you'll notice in places that do that, no one's getting saved. No one's getting saved. They'll preach about money, but they don't give a salvation call. Sure is getting quiet in here. Say, Pastor, ain't you afraid that's going to make somebody mad? I make people mad all the time. Not on purpose. That's not my heart or my goal. But, you know, some of these things, it's got to be, you know, someone, and of course others much greater than me, you don't need to step up and need to say, this stuff is garbage. It's garbage. It's hurting the Great Commission. It's hindering it. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want you blessed, but you got to know, what is the blessing for, everybody? It's for this body. It's not for this one. Doesn't mean it's not going to stick you. Doesn't mean that good things don't come into your life. It does. But I'm here to tell you that cannot be your heart. Cannot be your desire. Your desire should be to have a heart for the body. Go back to James chapter 5. Boy, are you here today? Healing is for what? A greater purpose. Healing is for the body. This body. Not just this one. It's the body of Christ needs your strength. The body of Christ needs your help. The body. And it doesn't mean you just have to give to the church organization. You can bless your brothers and sisters. Be a help. Serve. Glory to God. Amen. Are you getting something out of this? Praise the Lord. Go over to James 5 and I'll go to verse 15. Look at this. He says this, the prayer of faith shall rescue the sick. The Lord will raise this sick person up. And if that sick person has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Boy, there's that God of ours again. He loves to forgive sins and heal bodies. That's who he is. Look at verse 16. Now, this is interesting because at first you wouldn't think that verse 16 is a healing verse, but then it becomes one. Watch. Confess your faults one to another. Who is he talking to again, everybody? The church. Confess your faults amongst yourselves. That doesn't mean you come to the pastor and it's not the confessional. You know, it's not, you know, like, you know, the Catholicism or whatever. That's not in the Bible. You know, it's not talking about sitting down, you know, and with a man and you know, confessing your sins and stuff like that. It's not what it's talking about. It says, confess your faults to your Christian brothers and sisters in your local church family. Confessing your faults, pray for one another that you may be healed. It didn't say pray for them that they would be healed. It said pray that you would be healed, all right? What it's talking about there is, notice this, confess your faults one to another. Why is the scripture telling us to do that amongst the church? Because that is one way of keeping the body healthy. If you are tender-hearted enough to tell your brothers and sisters, to humble yourself and say, hey, I've missed it. Hey, this is a fault I have. Hey, please forgive me of this. You know, if you've got a tender heart to do that, then you have a tender heart enough to put the body before yourself. All right? Pray for one another. What does that mean? Pray for your brothers and sisters because you're lending a supply of faith to them. You're living for them. You're living for you, not living for you. Then it says healing comes to you. Why? Not because you're selfish, but because you put this body in front of this body. Is everyone seeing this in the verse? You care more about the health. Why would you confess a fault so it doesn't become a larger problem? Make sure a fault doesn't become a sin. Make sure that offense doesn't run wild. If you're confessing your faults, then you're less likely to be offended. Someone's less likely to be offended with you. If you're confessing your faults, you're keeping offense out of the church. You're keeping larger sins out of the church. You're keeping the body of Christ healthy and a priority to you. Amen. You're praying for your church, praying for your brothers and sisters. And then the Bible says, because you have lent your strength to this body, healing then comes to this body. Folks, do we understand that? It is not the other way around. We don't come to church and take healing out of the church. Do you understand that? We come to church and give our strength to this body, and then this body will be better taken care of. Do you understand? I don't get my health. You know, I'm not here to just show up and take it home. I'll illustrate this. I say this, you've heard me say this before. I would rather be a faucet than a drain. A faucet is something that pours out. A drain, you ever seen the drain in the bathtub? Especially remember when your kids were little and they were in the bathtub with all those toys and everything in there, and you'd pull the plug on the drain, and a drain makes everything come to it, right? See, a lot of Christians, they're like that. They want everything to just come to them. But I don't know about you, but I want to be a faucet. I want to pour out. I want to provide something, not just take something away. Are you here? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to give to this body. I want to serve in this body. That's what health and healing is for. That is what the resources in our lives are for. Amen. Notice in verse 16, if you have a heart to protect and guard the body of Christ, healing flows to you. I'm going to say that again. Do you see that? Confess your faults one another. What are you doing? Keeping a tender heart. Keeping offenses out. I'll tell you what. So many Christians, they get offended in their church. They try to bring division in the body, and then they wonder why they're not healed. Oh boy, are you here today? Confess your faults. Pray for the local church. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available. Go back with me real quickly, and we'll end here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go to verse 25. I brought up verse 27 earlier. We need to look at this. Glory to God. Having a heart to protect the body produces healing. Confessing faults prevents something small from becoming much bigger. It keeps offense out of the body. It keeps the body spiritually healthy. And when the body is spiritually healthy, the body can be physically healthy. Are you getting a hold of this? Folks, this message today can just be summed up, and I've said it several times. You know, it can be summed up like this. We got to get to a point where this body is more important to us than this one. Amen. We have to get there. Say, well, Pastor, that's just, you know, the human nature is to always put our own needs first. Well, see, that might be natural, but it's not supernatural. Right. We've got to grow in God so we stop thinking of ourselves first. 1 Corinthians 12:25, look what it says over here. It says that there should be no schism, or literally the word is division. There should be no division in the body of Christ, but that the members or each part should have the same care one for another. You care for the people in your church. You care for the body of Christ. Amen. You're not showing partiality. Look at verse 26. Look what it says. It says, and whether one member or one part suffers, all the members suffer along with it. Meaning if one of us struggles, we all are struggling because that's how much we are one body. But look at the rest of it. But if one member or part is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So whatever strength you have, we benefit from it. And if there's a need that comes up in your life, the body of Christ can help provide that need. Amen. But it's just giving this principle that what happens to one of us happens to all of us. Until this body becomes more important to you than this body, that's where healing comes from, everybody. Healing comes from a heart to put the Lord's body first. Are you getting a hold of this? But if we're not careful, if we're just listening to, you know, the preachers on TV, which thank God for the good ones, but there's a lot of bad. If we're not careful, it comes across, it's just all about you. You know, if they're not encouraging you to be part of a local church, if they just want you sitting at home listening to their broadcast, They should be telling you to find a local pastor. Find a local church. Show your face there. Serve those people. Prosper that local body of Christ. Amen. Are you here? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, this is also true in our marriage and in our home. What if we were confessing our faults to our spouses? What if we were confessing our faults to our kids? You know, what if we were praying one for another? What if we were doing that? Don't you think that that would keep out much larger problems out of your marriage? Amen. Folks, are you getting the point here this morning? Are you getting a hold of this? I'm going to say it again. Until this body becomes more important than this body, right? Until the body of Christ becomes more important to you than your own physical body, the blessings of God, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a hard time receiving them. James says you ask, but receive not, because you ask amiss. You desire to consume it upon your own needs, your own desires. It's all about you. But I tell you what, healing is for the body of Christ. Healing allows you to serve in the church. Healing allows you to fulfill the function that God has for you in the local church. Amen. Resources allow you to be generous to the local church. Time allows you to serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting a hold of this? You got to get a revelation of the body of Christ. That's where the connection is made. That's where the grace flows. And if we're a part of the body, just floating a part of the body, aren't you glad that your body parts don't just float away? But yet that happens to the body of Christ all the time. People are out there floating around. They're bouncing around, floating around, not serving, not giving, not doing much. And then they wonder, where's the grace? Where's the grace? Where's the help? Praise the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. And I'm sticking with it today. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you. Father, you are holy and good. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that we are the church, the body of Christ that fulfills all in all. Father, we are all parts in particular. We all serve a specific function. We need this body. We need the body of Christ. We need to know where we're connected. We need to know that we have a supply to those that are around us. Father, we know that healing is just not about our physical body. It's not just about us. It's so that we would have strength to serve the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you get healed in your body, what are you going to do with it? If you get blessed in your finances, what are you going to do with it? If you have talents and gifts and abilities, what are you doing with them? If you have time to volunteer, what are you doing with it? If you can be a blessing to the Lord's body, why aren't you? Let's all ask ourselves this question. Are we helping the body of Christ? Or are we hurting it? Father, I'm so grateful that we have a church filled with people that have a heart to put the body of Christ first. But Lord, if there's something that we're missing, if there's something that we have done that hurts your body, Lord, if we've put our own priorities above your priorities, forgive us. If we need to confess our faults one to another, we will. Forgive us, Lord, when we've not prayed for one another as we should. Lord, we are living in a generation that is so selfish. And there's so many challenges out there to keep our hearts tender for you. But Lord, we're going to do it. We're going to stay faithful. We're going to learn from your word and your spirit. We're going to keep first things first. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, before we dismiss, ask yourself this question in your heart. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? The Bible says over there in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. ask yourself that question in the quiet of your conscience right now. Am I saved? There should be a very clear and distinct answer. If you are saved, you know it. There's no doubt about it. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if today were my last day on this earth, if I'd be in heaven or hell. Folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. Hell is a real place, but the good news is heaven is a real place. God the Father does not want you in hell. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants your sins to be washed by the blood of His Son. And the Bible says that if you'll confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here today and you are not saved or you're not sure and you want to be sure, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. This is between you and God. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or anything like that. All I'm going to do is ask you to take a step towards the Lord and lift your hand and say, Lord, here I am. Meaning just lift your hand for 1 second. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in that prayer. And everyone will be praying right along with you. And right there in your seat, you can confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you just take that step now and just lift your hand for just a brief moment? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. We're turning to Christ, turning away from our old life. Amen. We've had a couple of hands. Is there anyone else before we pray? Anyone else before we pray? God loves you. If you lifted your hand, pray this prayer right along with us. Everybody is going to be praying. Don't just think these words in your mind. Speak these words out of your mouth. God will hear you. Mean it with your heart. Everybody pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. I will live for you. I will obey you. And I will be connected to the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get something out of this here today? Folks, you might be sitting here and you might be saying, well, I thought this was a healing message. Well, it is. It's getting to the greater purpose of healing. You say, well, Pastor didn't call anybody up to lay hands on them for healing. You know what? I'm not led to do that right now. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. It's not just a pastor that can lay hands on you. Any of these believers in this place can lay hands on you. You know, praise the Lord. And it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm against that. We've done that at other times and we'll do that again at some point. But I'm just here to tell you, we're getting to the motivation behind where healing comes from. There's a greater purpose, and folks, we gotta start living for something bigger than ourselves. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give God all the praise and glory. We'll be dismissed. Father, we praise you today. Come on, church, lift your voice. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.